Let's sing this little chorus together, can we, Brother Taylor? He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes I... Can't you sing that with me? Jesus was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. Surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes I am healed. Oh, there's peace in the time of my trouble, and there's peace in the time of my storm. And there's peace when the world is raging in the shelter of his arms. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Without him I can do nothing. Without him I would but fail. And without him I would be drifting, just like a ship without any sail. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hear him today. Don't turn him away. Without him, how lost I would be. You can be seated. Now, I trust that you understood what was going on this morning. And I trust that you got a blessing out of it. It's for sure that sometimes we don't know what's going on. And that's why we're supposed to have a shepherd. And I'm sure that some of the brethren that was a little earlier than the other was down, the other ones as they gathered down in the basement just before service, that they were shocked, because I could tell that what I said shocked them, and it would you. But nevertheless, it's good to be a Christian. Let's always remember that it's good to be a Christian. And it's the shepherd's job for him to be able to watch, know through Christ, and let you just go ahead and, as you understand. And if I... don't sound just right in talking and singing. I just got through eating. I got helped up today and didn't get any food over toward the evening because God was ministering in all the evening. And the final analysis of the day was that we were down in the basement, and that's why we're late. And it wasn't just something on our part. We were having the Lord's Supper. And I was having the Lord's Supper there, and it isn't something we plan, but it was something He planned, and He's done that numbers of times at Little Bethlehem. And He furnished the bread, and He furnished the lamb, and He furnished the wine. And to say the least, any time that you indulge in something concerning godliness, it's always overwhelming, or what the world calls flabbergasting. But tonight, it was awesome. It was awesome, to say the least. And a lot of times it's hard to convince anybody of, because there's always talk and whatever. And I know everybody don't see and they don't understand. And many that sit right under the ministry and these wonderful things, they reflect these things, and they still don't understand. It's not given unto them to know. And no matter how they hear it, it still is received in a parabolic manner. But there's some that hear that I'm pretty sure receive at least some of it. You can believe me that the ones that didn't understand tonight, as far as I would say, and I could be all wrong, I'd say that they don't have the goods, and they won't have the goods, and it's most likely they'll never have the goods unless it is some of my babies or my lambs that sometimes they don't altogether understand. It was a shocking experience for the brethren because there'd been so much resentment, fault-finding, tacting me in the ministry, hindering, doing their own thing, living in their own mind, and not really believing what I said. Just more or less half-hearted in it. And tonight it dawned on them that it was not only what we had said, but they began to realize that it was so tremendously much more, that it tore them to pieces, and some to the extent that they felt like they had missed it, checked their spirits again and again, and felt like that they wouldn't make it. And it isn't that I don't want you to make it. I'm here to try to help you make it and do what little I can. I want to make it myself. But it's sad to try to run in at the last minute and not help carry the load, not do anything, and not conform, and then just rejoice over the fact, well, bless God, I made it, I made it, I made it. Knowing that you could have done something and didn't, and knowing that if you did get in, all of your works would be burned, and you'd just be saved yourself. The Bible says as if the fire, which is a sad, sad situation. And then, of course, people who do that usually don't get in. As a rule, when you run in at the last minute, you can be sure that you don't get in. If I act a little bit nervous, it's because for days and days and days now, I've been trying to talk with the Lord as what is my routine of life. And then about 8 hours yesterday, talking to the brethren. Some said 9 hours. And then still talking to the brethren after 9 hours. And then back again today, and days before, and 5, 6, and 8. And it's a very taxing thing. So like I was telling my wife tonight, I try to get simmered down on the inside. Because this is day after day, month after month, year after year. And then time I try to get in a little bit of a prayer time or whatever night. That's really... really a taxing situation, and carry on my duties otherwise. But I do say this, we really need to stop and think, folks. because the time is running out. And like I said, there's only about 3 months left in this year. And calendar-wise, that's the last 3 months before the tribulation. Now, someone would say, Brother Pike, surely to God, you don't believe that. It's not a matter of me believing something. I'm not trying to tell you something you need to believe or that I believe. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm telling you calendar-wise. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's still 3 months, and then the last 7 years set in. I mean, that ain't a matter of believing. That's what the calendar says. And now you say, well, do you really believe that it's going to happen just like that on them dates? No, I really don't. To be honest with you, I don't. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that if it would, and then I tell all of you, you would strain every muscle to try to be ready, and some of you would be just as wretched as you could be on the inside, but out of fear of going to hell, you'd run at the last minute, just like some of us are doing right now. That doesn't mean you're right with God. Just because these are running in, that doesn't mean you're right with God at all. It has nothing to do with it. The Bible said, unless you have His Spirit, you're none of His. So that doesn't have anything to do with it. As to my youth coming in, as to my lambs coming in, it's a different situation. They haven't been exposed to these things, and they haven't been evasive to them because they haven't known them. And where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not required. But where there's a knowledge of sin, sin is required. And many of you, you can be sure it's required of you. So, I know that God will offset it. And He could offset it a month. He could offset it a year. He could offset it 10 years. I mean, He doesn't have to bring it till He gets ready. It could be 100 years. So I'm not saying at all as to that. Not at all. I'm telling you what the calendar says. You can look and check the calendar. And I remind you once again that every 2,000 years, there's something that happens. Scientists are predicting that something will happen this 2,000 years. And maybe it won't, but they say it will. And it has in the past. So I'm just telling you this. This I know. A lot of things were made to understand. And I thank God because we are, because I don't merit it. It's strictly the grace of God that He even lets me know anything. I'm less than nothing. But I do know the time is at hand. I do know because I have been privileged to have the revelation of the Lord and to go into the deep mysteries of God. The Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And I've been privileged to go into the deep, deep, deep things of God. Anything of God is deep because it's below the surface, as we say. It's beyond the veil. So it's deep. But I'm talking about the deep, deep, deep mysteries of God. So deep that He would lose me. A lot of times I teach the revelation, and not me speaking, but Him. It's actually Him speaking at the time, a lot of times. Sometimes I preach to you of what He has taught me. But when He's speaking, the brethren are learning this, and some of you that don't come around, and especially the lady folks, they wouldn't know unless I tell them here. But they are learning that to speak and inject one word, they can stop him from speaking. To say just two or three things out of ambition, it stops him from speaking. And somebody said, you mean you just stop if just somebody just wants to say something? No, I go on, I talk. I can talk and talk and talk. I said, he stops speaking. And then some of them thought that was a little bit too close as to me teaching that stopped him from speaking, even though they've seen it do it again and again. They've been around and they've seen it do it. But it doesn't take that. All it takes is your thoughts, and your thoughts will stop him from speaking. And we broke that down tonight to try to explain to some of them because their thoughts Just their thoughts was stopping him from speaking. And then they come to realize that, as the Bible said, every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And they come to realize what the Bible said about their thoughts being the means while accusing or else excusing one another. And as we expounded a little bit what it means when it says, "And I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts." And they're pulling in real close. They're realizing now that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He perceives their thoughts. And that the least little thought will interfere with Him speaking. And that's why that at the church is not very much that ever comes forth comparatively speaking. Though a lot of the brethren thought that I was just talking. And when I said they didn't understand, they thought I was just talking. I was mocked a lot of times by the audience, the different ones. But now, they not only have confessed and realized that they didn't know, they realize now that there wasn't even in the neighborhood of understanding. Well, somebody says, "Well, I don't believe that." Why don't we just prove that? Maybe everybody isn't here, it was down yonder, but would you stand up if I'm telling the truth, you that was down there tonight? Would you please do that? Would you please look around, different ones, and see if we're lying? I didn't need but two witnesses to establish that. You can be seated, and I thank you. So, a great phenomenal thing took place tonight, and there were blessed that had part in it. I'm so thankful to God I had a little part in it, and maybe you didn't have a part in it. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, and doesn't mean that God doesn't want you, but it's so wonderful to this extent that they that belong to God are led by the Spirit of God, and they are the sons of God, and they will live eternally. They will be healthy. They will be young. They will be strong. They will be radiant. They will be full of the abundance of life and full of the riches, the greatest riches, and of real, true riches. The Bible says, if we have not been faithful over the unrighteous mammon, who shall then commit to our trust the true riches? And there is a true riches. So this is what we're speaking of. To tell you these things, to try to explain to you, I would like to. But it's just about an impossibility to even dispense the things that he's saying to the brethren. It really is a great impossibility. You can't do it as an individual. It's impossible. But he has a way of dispensing, and he has a way of proclaiming. He has a way of utterance that I have no control over, and you have no control over. And it has nothing to do with intellect, nor scholarship, nor knowledge, or ability, nor skill of any kind. And when he speaks, it's so gentle like a dove that you have to learn to be still, the Bible said, to know I'm God, even in your spirit, in your thoughts. And study to be quiet. And with the church world, that's foreign, because they think you should do everything else as being emotional, and that all this lies within the realms of emotion. And there's certainly nothing wrong with emotion. You know, David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. You can shout, you can holler, you can scream, do whatever you want to. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. But then on the other hand, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted like a child. But when I become a man, then I begin to think different," he said. "My actions were different." And the Bible said the meat is for the strong, who have our reasoning, exercises, senses, to be able to discern between good and evil. When you come into the house of God, then learn how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And come in with thanksgiving and come in with praise, because God is a spirit and he inhabits the praise of his people. And pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that he might reveal to you. And meditate in his laws day and night, for the meat belongs to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise those thoughts to be able to discern between good and evil. Eye hath never seen, ear hath never heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. These brethren will substantiate the fact that here their ears have heard things that's never been recorded in books, and never in the history of the world has been revealed or made known. And Jesus said in the parabolics to them many things as he preached. And then he said to his disciples, it's not given to them to know the mysteries. It's given to you, because if they knew the mysteries, it would only destroy them, because the brightness of the light of this great light will destroy the human beings that are not elect. For with the brightness of that light as to his coming, I will destroy the man to perdition. For he sitteth in the temple of God, the body that should be mine. As an intellectual, he sits there from the old tree of knowledge, ruling, eating and drinking and buying and selling, looking for securities and controlling the weather and everything else, showing himself that he is God. But with the brightness of this coming, which breaks forth from within you, it will dissolve your body to change it, the molecular structure of every cell, into a celestial being as Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the others which are illuminated with it as under the thing of the illumination, as to grace, it becomes a fire of consummation, and it consumes them, and that consummation is near at hand. It's not very far. The judgment is already moving, as in the church. And that judgment is whosoever sins, the minister remits. Whosoever sins, he retains. Whoever he blesses, whoever he curses. Now, if I say some things tonight, commenting on what was said today, don't get out of sauce, because we had a little interference down at the meeting there. And some people very, very conceited in their minds, positive that they knew and understood, suddenly become aware of the fact that it was exactly the opposite of what they thought. And as to the conceit of the mind and the things that went on down there, they come to understand that brilliance is not with human beings when it comes to godly understanding. So it was a thing of interference as to Satan for a little bit. It took a while to shake it off. So when I come up here to comment, be careful, because always the bond child will judge in his intellectual and judge the free child, always. And thou shalt not judge another man's servant. To God he standeth or falleth. And in these things, when we realize that we're not to judge one another, then when we realize that, we don't get in each other's way, we don't get in God's way, we don't hinder, we don't sit in the seat of the scornful, we don't stand in the way of sinners, but our delight is in the laws of the Lord, and we meditate in those laws day and night. So when I comment on things, be sure that you're sure that you're sure that you keep your mind right, that you take heed how that you hear, that you know the purpose of the minister, and you understand what God is saying, why he's saying it, or why the minister is commenting, in that he's a shepherd. We'll go back to Genesis, in the beginning was God. I'll make the reference one more time to John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this morning I heard, through the ministering, three different things. Now if you understood, then you heard three different things. And I listened as three different things come forth. And if I told you it probably might not set well with you. But I told some of the others, and I'm sure that they'll be discussing some things, and you might get wind of a few things. Now, what am I saying? I won't say it to the audience because I don't need it on tape. And I have said it confidentially to some brethren. And I explained explicitly in some eras of it. So I can say that in hearing the brother, I was glad to know that he hath been trying to come into the revelation for a long time, which our minister touched his life a number of years ago, and he struggled to come into it. And I heard a lot of it come back as the many things he said today. And I heard a lot of things come as to what Brother Branham has said. And I heard a lot of things come as to his own ministry. And it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. The things that we would have to say, I'll say it like this. I didn't even get up after the ministering. I didn't get up. I didn't make any efforts to get up because I didn't want to cast a shadow, put any blemishes, do anything as to what he said. He had said what he had said. You had heard what he said. And I felt Brother Taylor was supposed to get up and sure enough, he did. He turned and beckoned to Brother Taylor. And it worked out just exactly like we understood it was supposed to be. So then we so much for that, and we'll let that go on as it is. Now, I want to say a few things. I'm tired. I'm real tired. And like I said, it's been a consecutive thing, and I'm real tired. But I wanted to say just a few things tonight, if I could. Perhaps you will think this is just repeating some things we've already said, which is good. We always have newcomers. And Peter said, though you know this, you need your mind stirred up in it again. I'll give the more earnest heed, lest you let it slip or forget it. And you might feel like it's just, you know, something that's not for you. But it touches on what happened tonight as to the brethren, and it will connect right with a few of the brethren, if I'm able to say a few things, and otherwise it won't. Being tired, you know, it makes a lot of difference. But like Jesus out on the boat, he was God, and yet he got tired, and he had to lay down and sleep. While the storms was raging, he was laying there trying to get a little sleep. And when I say I'd like to touch on a few things, I would like to pour my heart out to you. My heart is enlarged unto you. And God would start talking, and he would talk for hours. And if you are a lamb, the dove will light on you. If you know how to be still and gentle, he is so gentle. And if not, the least little disturbance, and he won't come near you. So, I would start, and if I started and could get him to speak. And you know, it's like this, it's like I told the brethren. He will not speak unless you're hungry, unless you're desiring. If you come and want to go home early, you don't have to worry. He won't bother you. He's a real gentleman. And if you want to break in and talk, he'll stop. He'll just let you talk. He won't break in on you. And if a preacher's hollering and screaming going on, it'd be a little different. But I'm speaking of when he's directly speaking. And you have to really desire him, and you really have to press in against your thoughts. You press your way into the kingdom just to get him to speak. And the longer you stay with that desire, the more he'll speak. And then you have to believe. It's a matter of thoughts. As to his thoughts emanating from him through the ministry. And his thoughts are very deep. As a matter of fact, they're so deep as to the depths. No one is ever fathomed but him. And they're so high that no one has ever reached it but him. Higher above our thoughts, even Einstein's thoughts, than the heavens is the earth. And we cannot even conceive of them. They have to be revealed to us. That's why it has to be the revelation. And I ask you to pray that God will grant unto you the revelation. I would that you were spiritual. I would like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. Or that is, I would like to let God directly speak to you. But I know there's envy and strife, carnality, hungering, thirsting, things of the world, intellectual reasoning. Most of our time is given to that side of life. So I speak unto his babes in the Lord, asking you to desire the sincere milk of the word. But they that have the meat know how close it is. And they know how serious it is. And how fearful it is. And how awesome it is. How awesome, very awesome. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, not so awesome. Not to you, because you don't understand. See, but when you understand, it is so awesome. So awesome. Somebody said, you're trying to magnify that. Folks, believe you me, so help me God. I can't even touch it in tiptoeing. It is so awesome. There's no words of expression. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Say so often. And wouldn't I be the fool of fools to lie? Says, well, you don't mean to. You just exaggerate. Oh, no. It's no exaggeration. It's 10,000 times undertold as to the awesomeness of it. And as the Queen of Sheba said, the half has never been told with all of the stories that she heard. See, so we have to learn to believe. And like Brother Branham said one time, having a gift from God, he said, I cannot work this gift. That's true. No person can work a gift in their life. I know, you know, our present day prophets and prophetess, they just turn it on and off like water, and it's no problem. But I'm talking about when the Spirit of God speaks through them. No man has power over the Spirit, not even retained it at death. See, but when God moves, and if you're his instrument and you're his voice, he will speak through you. He wants to. And it's not a matter of you not being qualified. Somebody said, well, I've just got to go on a lot of this fasting and prayer and praying, and then I've got to do all these things. And No, his righteousness. All you do with your praying and fasting is something to inspire your believing, just to awaken your believing and to stimulate your believing, to take it out of the negative and put it into the affirmative. To where you can believe, because all this comes simply through believing. You don't have nothing to do with it. Your works don't have anything to do with it. See, and all you have to do is listen. When you get the understanding, and that's why it's so important when you get the understanding, then you start believing. Until then, you will not, because believing comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. All right. So then this little bit of exhortation, it is to let you know that you have to do something. When you believe, then, like I told him today, what happens is if the preacher is really a preacher, how can he preach unless he be sent? Now, if he's really a preacher, and the Spirit of God begins to move, whereas he's above you, in you, through you, he's always right there in the midst of two or three, and if they come in the name, the angels of God are all around you day after day. You're just not aware of it. He gives his angels charge concerning you to bear you up in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And they're always there, and they're ministering spirits to you day and night, watching over you to keep the powers of evil away from you, and ready to fight at a moment's notice against fallen angels that come to kill you with diseases, that comes to steal your virtue, that comes to, you know, whatever they come to do, rob you of your blessings. And they're there all the time. There's a continual warfare. And they're dependent upon you, that you would give them the freedom and use your faith to give them the opportunity that they might be dispatched from God for your good. And it's war all the time, and they're standing there all the time when you're driving down the road. And today we're living in with all this problem. They're there trying to watch in case of a wreck where they can be right there just in a moment's notice and save your life. And it makes it very difficult when you just kind of wishy-washy wave around. See, and it makes it very dangerous for you because it's up to you as to whether they can get to you or not. And if you go to practicing iniquity, allowing iniquity, habitual in your violations, then they can't get near iniquity. And then you're going to be in trouble. But when you do your best and make your effort from the heart, from the cleanliness of your heart, not trying to hide nothing, he gives them their opportunity to watch over you. So there's a continual battle, great warfare going on. And as it was when the answer was to come to Daniel's prayer after 21 days of travail, he didn't have to do that for God to hear him. They said, Daniel, you prayed the first day. God heard you. See, from the blood of the Lamb, the foreknowledge, foundation of the world. But Daniel had to do that to strengthen his faith so he could hold on so that they could get to him. For the purification, in the sense that God purifies the heart by faith. And the sanctification is by faith. And he had to hold on. And when those angels started down from the third heaven down to the first heaven, they had to cross the second heaven, which is the place where Lucifer is at. And when they did, all of a sudden, these angels came in against them. And it was angel to angel, and it was a battle. And when it come to the great battle, as they come in, as the forces of darkness begin to attack the forces of light, the angels were no match for them, and they had to return and go get more angels as to a reinforcement that they could break through the barrage. And coming down, then they broke through, and then they got to Daniel, and they said, oh, beloved man of God, you know, Daniel, you held on. Glory to God, we say. Daniel held on, and he would fast, and he would pray, and he'd stay on his face before God. And he would say, Lord, like Jesus, your will be done. Your will be done. That was his whole heart. That was his whole life. That was everything that he lived for. I heard the brother say something today that went along that same line that I could tell what had happened. Great things are happening. Great, mighty things are happening. And I can preach to you. I can be real emotional to you. I can talk to you, or I can just exhort you a little bit like I'm doing right now. We've done all of it. Or I can teach you and tutor you to come to the house of God. And in coming to the house of God, do like they did when they followed Jesus. When they were very quiet and they listened very quietly. And he simply sat down on a boat or on the mountainside. And as a teacher, he taught them the wonderful things of God. Like Brother Branham also said, somebody reminded me today, I recall this somewhere, where he made the statement that the last rain as to the latter rain would be a teaching rain. In the church as a pastor, I like to do that so I can let him speak. And then when I'm out in the world, I like to go out there preaching because I'm plowing. And if I get into the right frame of mind and the Lord gets you in the right frame of mind, then he'll start speaking and revelation not only will come forth as what has happened in the yesterdays, it will come forth what is going to happen in the future. And it will come forward what is happening right now. And you'll see it happen all around you. The brethren have seen this again and again and again. It's a living thing of him being right here, resurrected from the dead right now. And he'll perceive your thoughts. If I come, I like to sit down and talk to a person when the Spirit is moving. I say when he'll move anytime you believe. But I like to sit down and talk to a person like one-on-one, as the world says. Brother Branham used to do that. He liked to get them before him. And then when they come before him, like Jesus, there was something in the life of Jesus that perceived the people's thoughts in his spirit, which was referred to as the sign of the Son of Man, of the Messiah. Brother Branham liked to get them. He liked to have them, to get them one-on-one, you know, where he could talk to them like that. And then there was a communication to where he could pick up their spirit, and then the Spirit would tell him everything. And like I was expounding it today to the brethren, that's the way it is. That's the way gifts work. They that are baptized into Christ are one spirit, which means I'm in Christ's spirit and you're in Christ's spirit. And then if we project our faith and get in a state of love to where the body can be surrendered, then that means as we do that, then the Spirit of God will connect my spirit with your spirit. If I'm called to be a tutor, if I'm called to be a pastor, if I'm called to instruct you as a shepherd, then if I start talking and you start believing, then you will be surrendering your spirit. And faith is a surrender. I say, Brother Taylor, do you believe such and such and such? Do you believe there was a George Washington? He says, no, he hasn't surrendered to my doctrine. I say, well, there is. I don't believe it. But now if I say, do you believe? He says, yes. I said, do you believe there was Abraham Lincoln? He says, yes. So all the time he's becoming my subject. He's believing what I say. All the time I'm getting control of his spirit. Now when Brother Branham would come in, what he would do, he would say, I take every spirit here under my control. Through the Father of spirits. He couldn't do that as a man. He wouldn't have no control over no angels one way or another, especially over demon spirit. But it's Christ. Christ is the master. He is the Father of all spirits. That is, he created the good and evil. And when I say of all spirit, I mean as to the controlling factor. Now, not the Father of all spirits as to evil spirits, in the sense that he has separated it from him, though he hath created it. Now, so then, when I talk to somebody, in the past years, I like to get them sitting before me, standing there, and talk to them, and it wouldn't be but just a few minutes, and I'd have their spirit. And then I'd be able to tell what was troubling them or what was going on and perceive their thoughts, unless the Lord hid it, which he usually don't do. He that walketh upright before me shall like no good thing. Shall I hide anything from Abraham, seeing that he's my friend, and he will command his household after me or after him, me through him? So, when we come to church, that's what we'd like to do. And if we learn to study to be quiet, come in to do these things, then it's so wonderful because we're moving into depths that has never been fathomed before. Never. 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 And we're moving into heights that's never, never been reached. Never. Never before. And we're in a stride of transition from Egypt to Canaan. Symbolics. Natural, physically, spiritually, first power, second power, third power. And today, while we was down there over in the late evening, it had to do with this, as to the third. And it was very precisely pointed out as to where we're at, as to the waypoint of life, and whether or not this be true, and whether or not we're there. Whereas, it don't take but a few minutes getting out of his presence, and you're just as carnal as ever. You're just as natural as ever. All it was a reflection. See, but it's a true fact that whether elect or non-elect, scientists say you don't ever forget anything that you hear. It's either for you or against you in the judgment. It all depends. It's to a reflection or a conception. So, when you are involved in a state of affair, then it's charged against you as David. He never, never in his lifetime got over the thing that he did. And the Bible said you'll get yourself a blot, you'll never be wiped away, and it never was. And if it is a divine conception of God, it'll be there eternally too. One is to the judgment, one is to the blessing, as to that when the woman brings forth in righteousness as to her inheritance. And tonight, we're just talking like feeding you a little startina. Jesus said, as to the gathering of the chicks, I would have. Just a little tiny bit of startina. And so when I say all these things, I'm just saying that within you is a treasure chest, a memory bank. And all that you've ever done is there. So if I stand up here and the Spirit of the Lord projects from me, it'll make contact with your spirit. When it makes contact with your spirit because of your yielding, your believing, your submission, then it's like this. It connects together. Now it connects together. Now when it connects together, then you're one spirit. You're one spirit because you're already baptized into Christ. I'm already baptized into Christ. That's one spirit. So you don't have to connect with me to become one spirit. We're already one spirit in one body of one membership, the invisible, the inner man. Though we might be all divided up in our ambitions as to the outer man. See, so when I bring Zion again, they'll speak the same thing. See eye to eye, walk hand in hand. Not break rank. This means the change. When the body comes into a synchronization, or when the people come together in a unit, that means the change. Now, they're in variety. In their minds, taste, dislike, lacks, whatever, all these kind of things. But when the time comes, when the bodies come together, it won't be that way anymore. Already, you're united as the elect on the inside. But you've been scattered as Israel with all of these doctrines. But it's going to come something like on the day of Pentecost, one mind, one accord. And then the Spirit of God came like a mighty rushing wind. Okay, now, when we link together, I'm only saying in the body as to the mind. Peter said, look on us. Give us your attention, undivided attention. And the warfare is in your thoughts. See, and to lay aside, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. See, and then that's all I'm trying to say, is if I can get you into one mind. This is why the Lord speaks to the brethren a lot of time the way he does. They'll come in one or two, and they've heard him speak before, and they'll get into that mind. When they get into that mind, they'll sit there in that mind, and they're learning more and more not to break it. See, and then another will come in real reverent, and they want to hear, so they won't break it. And then after a while, you'll have 50 of them in there. All of them, they'll be right in there, real tight, and the Lord will just keep on ministering, keep on talking. See, and then the beautiful voice of the turtle is heard cooing to his dove, as to his dove mate. And this is what we have a problem with. When we come to church, so many minds come in, especially the women, and then the children, and their minds are so diverted. Like tonight when the Spirit was talking, just one brother that's very sincere, he just turned while the Spirit was speaking, he just turned a little, looked like that. Cut off like that. And he couldn't hardly fathom the fact that when I turned and said something, and he finally apologized. So I said, well, do you know who the brother was? Sure, I knew who he was. And that same one apologized. He apologized a little later on. He said, "I'm so sorry, Brother Pike. I didn't mean to do that." Now, do you know who? Sure you know who. Why don't you know who? If there's any contact with the Spirit, you know who. If you walk in the Spirit, if you don't know who, how are you going to perceive any thoughts? Sure you know whether it's right thoughts or bad thoughts. Now, so when it's a membership coming like that, one suffer, they all suffer. That is, suffer the loss of it as to its stopping. One, when it moves, he moves in his body. Now, it wouldn't have to be that way if one knew how to lock in on it, just sitting in the audience, or coming one-on-one. One-on-one is better because you don't have the interference of the others. And then when it locks in, I can look into your spirit through his spirit and know all about you. Someone said, "Well, you couldn't do that." Oh, yes, I can do that. You say, "How can you do that?" Because the Bible said, "I have an unction from the Holy One to know all things." Let's give the Lord a hand. Not only that, but that means that you also have that right. But it depends on who is willing to stay with the Lord and exercise faith and conform to him as to whether you use that or not. See, when we see these things, then we love to say something about it. Many times we see things here, many times during the audience. I hardly ever say anything about it. I get somebody personally, I talk to them a little bit about it, or sometimes I get a little aggravated if just the brethren are around, and I say quite a bit as to this over here, where sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not too good as to what they're doing or thinking, and it makes a lot of difference. But we just come together here to love the Lord, to hear, to be taught, tutored. That's what I try to do, just like now. I'm speaking to you. Say, "Well, isn't God speaking to us?" He always speaks to you. The minister, that's what he's for. And the tutor and the Lord will say a few little things along. And then the minister says a whole lot of things he's already acquainted with. And he's sent there to correct you, to help you and whatever. But then again, I say, it's so different that when the Spirit starts speaking directly. And if we could learn to move into this, my, what a day, what an hour, what a moment it is right now. What a wonderful time it would be. And that's all he's waiting on. One mind, the head, is waiting to take control, to break the heavens. And it's altogether different from what you think. Expounding it a little bit down there tonight, the brethren saw for sure that it's altogether different with all their learning and all their reasoning. So it's altogether different from what you think. And altogether different as to what God's doing. And I'm not saying you're ignorant, like I told Betty. I cannot say that the brethren don't have their eyes open. The eyes are open, and they're perceiving. And I can't say they don't understand anything. They understand many things. But then, like I said, when we go to the dimensional depths, the pearl of great price, it's deep, deep, deep. Like the little story, it was told, and when the pearl purchaser tried to purchase a certain pearl, the man said, "Not for sale, no price." And as you remember, when the man inquired, he said, "It took my son's life to get this one. He had to dive so deep," and said, I'll never let it go." See, and this is the pearl of great price. It took the Son of God's life. And it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's not given to anyone else. But he will let you look at it. He will. He'll take you in if you're the right kind of person. And he'll let you see. And eyes never seen. Not even Einstein. And like I told the brethren today, if you come into this great art gallery, I have a right to it. He's allowing me to come in. I'll be glad to show you these works as to a masterpiece. But I can't bring them out. He warned them in the vision. Said, if you step outside in the intellectual, you're in the darkness. And the law as to this sin, the law of sin and death, said you'll be charged and you'll be in trouble. and they showed me in a vision. I was doing it, and I didn't realize it. I just had an ambition, you know. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to hear. And it's for sure I'm going to tell everybody, I thought. But you can't do that. Jesus said, now to you that are in the art gallery, it's given unto you to look and see. Them that are without, just parabolics, that's all. They can't come in here and see this thing. So I'm just exhorting you a little bit tonight just to talk to you, to let you know what you're missing and that you shouldn't be missing these wonderful things. Ambition, zeal, that's wonderful. But the Bible says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And you got so much zeal, even the ministers, that he can't penetrate and get through. And they're saying so many things that it's a matter of study and study and study. And we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divine the words of truth. But then our program is so well planned, we leave him out. And then once we get everything so, then we're filled with exuberance. We've got so many things that we just feel like we've got to say and line it up, and the paper and the notes and all these kind of things, and then God don't have a chance. And that's why years ago, I just, in my young ministry, I left all that aside. And I said, now you can either talk or won't nothing be said unless you tell me just to exhort a little bit and talk to the people a little bit about the things, which I try to do. I always try if the Lord will let me. But still, I say it would be so wonderful if we could do it the other way. Now, I didn't get into my thought tonight, as you can tell. Not at all. I haven't even felt any connection. Connection cut off down there with the brethren. And in here, I feel no connection at all. I feel the reverence from a fine lot of people. And I feel your acknowledgement that I'm tired. And your respect, for which I'm very grateful, as a shepherd to a pastor. And I know, I guess maybe I'll have to say this to my audience. I know today as to the teachings, and I understand that the shepherd, he's the husbandman, as we say, like it would be to a vineyard, and he's the shepherd of the flock. He's the husbandman, as we say. Now, and I know that we understand that. I realize that. And I know what was said, that's right. But there is a first level and a second level and a third level. And I say this, I can't elaborate too much because I pick up resentment, fault finding, and criticism, and then the tapes, they go out and people listen. But I can say this. This is why people never, as a rule, get past the second dimension. Now, I explicitly spoke along these lines to two different groups today, enough scattered here and there that some of them have some understanding of what I'm saying. But it is a true fact that they never get past that because they have an intellectual concept. And their concept is they have this thing worked out the way they feel that it should be. And when they look at it, that's the way that they present it. But that isn't right. It is as to their level. But that's not right at all as to the way it is when you unveil the situation. Someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, you're kind of speaking, you know, scattered and in parables. Would you explain what you're saying? To some extent, I can. But like I said, I can't just come out and say these things. A lot of things I don't just come out and say, even in the presence of the brethren. So what am I saying? I'm saying that your devotion doesn't belong to the pastor. Your devotion doesn't belong to the pastor. Neither are you married to the pastor. And I don't require that. God doesn't require that. God requires your reverence to the pastor as to Christ within him, and he is your shepherd. And you are sheep, and the shepherd is supposed to know where and when to go.
and how to protect you.
As to your confidence and your trust, but I am a man like you are a man or a mankind. And I'm just a helper of your faith. That's all. No more. And in this, your devotion belongs to God. Your concentration belongs to me as I preach. But your consecration belongs to God. And this will really give you a great feeling of relief as to those that are in hypocrisy and those that like to find fault anyway. See, you're free all over again. And you can be a wandering star and accuse and find fault and still feel like everything's going real good because you're not under bondage to the pastor. And there you go, you got your freedom. Now, God gave you that freedom, even the hypocrites. And he gave it to you out of the sovereignty he did there in the garden. And I don't intend to take it. Now, that's where I say right there, parabolically speaking, that they can't get out of the second realm. You go one way or another, see, to the extreme. If you're offered liberty, then you use it for a cloak of maliciousness. And then if you're put under constraint, you're in bondage to where you can't do anything. So now that we understand to that extent, see, you'll never see the move of God until you get over that hurdle right there. So then don't look at me as nothing but your brother. I'm less than nothing. I'm the least among you. See, don't ever think of me any other way. Now, so I have espoused you, Paul said, to one, even one, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you belong, and ye are his bride. And I have espoused you to him, and I seek to present you blameless, body, soul, and spirit, to him. Neither am I exuberant to demonstrate or whatever, even though I can and have many times. But I'm not exuberant to do that because I'm not desiring to draw your attention to me. Nor am I desiring to be anything at all. Not anything. To have any kind of ministry. Any kind of a special ministry. I'm desiring to do one thing, the will of him that sent me. And finish my course and my work for him that I might convey to you, project to you, the Lord Jesus Christ to whom ye belong. And he that spilt his blood, or not spilt, but gave his blood for you. As we say, spilling is accidental. Gave his blood for you. And I'm here to try to tell you the truth. And not to try to tell you the truth to the extent that Brother Pike wants to tell you so he can get your reverence, attention, that I might be called reverend. He's the only one to really reverend. But as Christ within us, as his spokesman, I say these things. And I want to get your attention to him. And I'm just here, as I said, as a helper of your faith. I'll do anything I can to help you. And I am your shepherd until the chief shepherd appears. And I must wholeheartedly endorse the chief shepherd. He will come. Now, so then, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. That's God's word. And not only will he be glad to speak God's word, he will be glad for the bridegroom and for the bride. Listen close now. Because right here, as I say these things, twins is born out of the preaching. And it goes two ways. One's going to see, and the other isn't going to see, and one's going to understand, and the other isn't going to understand. So listen real close. I wished that I had the time, the strength, which God would give if he was hungry enough. Moses, 80 days on the mountain. Paul, several years in the desert. If you had the hunger and the desire, like Paul ministered all night long, see, he would afford the strength. But I wished I had the strength, as we say, and you had the time and patience to where we could have a session of 10 or 12 hours. And I felt okay, and we could just elaborate at least, that you might reflect, you might hear, if you didn't conceive, of the wonderful voice of God. That you might hear, and then it would be so beneficial to the elect as to them that are elect. And the others, it would give you a lot to talk about. So, as tonight, I'm going to say these few little things in close, because I already about took up all the time as to my allotted time up here. And I know you say, well, Brother Pike, we don't do that. We don't allot you a certain amount of time. You just talk to us. I wish the brother took plenty of time this morning. I was glad. You know, and he excellent preacher. Really preached and exuberant to where he could, as to the natural, hold your attention. Because as to the motion and the moving and the different things, it holds the natural attention. You don't go to sleep. And it keeps you awake. And it's exciting, and you'll stay there longer. Now, but I don't feel to do that. I feel to do exactly what I'm doing. As I say, in revival, sometimes it's a little bit different. But I'm going to say these few little things that it may not even take. You don't allot me a certain amount of time as to say, well, Brother Pike, you get through whatever. But your spirit does. Your thoughts does. And then when the Spirit of the Lord starts to move, it takes a while to get into the mind of Christ. And then when it begins to move, then you limit, like the track limiting the Holy One. You limit. And then you say, well, you speak to us some more. I'm hungry now. I want to go home. Whereas I was very hungry today, but I couldn't go home. Moses was very hungry, but he couldn't do that. So you do limit me as to routine. It's just routine with you. Otherwise, I lose your attention, and all I'm doing is just talking to you. Like tonight, haven't even made contact yet. Haven't even made contact. So I'm not even trying to. That's one of the reasons I'm not trying to, because I'm tired, and I've been ministering and ministering and ministering. But I was willing, if the Lord wanted to say anything, I was willing. But then, of course, like I say, you got a hunger and thirst to be filled. Otherwise, he won't speak. So then let me say these few little things now, and I'm going to repeat myself because I've said this before. But I'm saying this for the benefit of some of them that was downstairs. If they can think it over, as I told them down there, it would probably be just like I'm repeating myself. And yet you need this. It's just a few little things. And if you could understand when I say this, as to the power and the great, mighty, mighty thing that's behind it, it would shake you on your foundation. But it's just a simple little thing that seems like nothing tonight. I told you tonight, as we had the Lord's Supper, I said, now, this is to denote getting over the Jordan. That's what I told you. And getting you over the Jordan, I said, has to do with a great thing. And one of the things was bringing you into one mind. The Jordan is your intellectual. And to be carnally minded is death. It's enmity with God. And I said, and this has to do with a great thing, which so help me God, that's the truth. Greater than you'll ever know until you see God. And has to do with this great, mighty thing, trying to get you over the Jordan. Now you're back in your carnal mind tonight, just as carnal, you know, which that's normal. You know, you got tired, so you went to sleep. I looked at the audience in the vision, and all of them was asleep. All of them was asleep. So you went back, you got tired, out of the mind of Christ and light, and you got into the darkness of intellectual and weary, you went to sleep. And tonight I'd have to wake you all up again. So, I'm just saying this tonight as routine, we say. So then I told you, I said, getting you over the Jordan. When they awoke, they saw His glory. Anytime you come out of the carnal mind, into the spiritual mind, then you're changed from glory to glory, inspiration to inspiration, light to light, understanding to understanding. And then you begin to see His glory, and you being His body, His glory, He projects His glory into you to a glorification, to make it manifest in your mortal genes, in that wisdom, make face to shine, to bring about the glorified body. Whereas, I tell you again, when you say glorification, the beauty for the woman, beautifying the meek with salvation, the body submission. See, and I say this again to you, that these things have already happened. Now, I know you say, well, I don't know. I don't believe. I can't get that. But they have. They have. And then I say to you that you already, as to the elect, have heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. And I say to you, I would like to say to you a lot of things, like as today when the sixth seal, orbiting around the sixth seal, six comers, and as to the rest, the fight's over, wanting him to come, many things that we'd have to say to you in the spirit as to what God brought in sequence to show you exactly what is happening at this way point of life, or what is happening right now in the spirit world. And with all this visitation. But I'm just saying that we're moving from glory to glory. If these things already happen, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, was it in 63? Was it when Brother Branham indicted the world? Or was it at different times of other great men or other great things of Brother Branham or prophets of the past? If it was, then when, where? It was. Now, but when, where? It was before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, these things were given to you in Christ Jesus. They were not made known to mankind until Calvary. And then the Bible said they were brought to light at Calvary. For it shall be light in the evening time. And during the time of gross darkness, for these that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, the Bible teaches, great light is spring up unto them, which means Calvary. And the great light means the understanding of God, the rent veil, the opening of the curtains, the pulling back of the cherub curtains, that between the cherubs it might be seen, this great mighty ark of God. And the shadow that these people sat in was what David said as to this. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, meaning the law, a shadow of those things to come, falling upon those people as to the Jewish recipients, and that shadow being death, the law of sin and death. The shadow of those things to come, whereas the Bible uses the terms that which was could never make the come of thereunto perfect as pertaining to the conjugal. And then hundreds of things that we'd have to go into that we've been into with the brethren. Just a few little things here. So then I told you that shadow lasted till Calvary. Here it is now brought to light. What is this? You're getting hungry and you're pressing in. I'm going to be compelled to say some things to you here, at least a few things. As I was telling the brethren, a phenomenal thing took place today when my little David Paul's little one, when he came in and he wanted to visit with me when his dad left, as to a present day truth I'm saying, and he looked from the sofa over to this little glass enclosure Sister Betty has for her whatnots. And on the top of it was the shofar. The shofar shofar, which was a trumpet. He said, I can, said Paul, said, I can blow that. I didn't know what he was saying because I was kind of tired. And then I wrestled around with it for a few minutes, and I said, oh yes, David, I know what you're saying. I'll just get it for you. So I reached up and got it. It had great significance, and we probably can't get into those things tonight. I'm late coming because of the meeting down there, and tired, and you're tired. And I'm just going to say a few little things. But up there was where the candlesticks was that I gave to Mr. Ruark, or my wife. And also the two little glass doves, little glasses with dove bases. Beautiful crystal. Little expensive somebody had given me. And I felt it was to go to him. And a lot of you will be seeing what that is, and some of you have heard me expound, so you'll know. And you can share it with your companions. So, I took it down, I handed it to him, and sure enough, he sounded it. And then, when he sounded it, I said, well, let me sound it. And the Lord blessed me to where I can sound it. So, I sounded it, and then I sounded it loud and long. And then I said, now you sound it loud and long. So he sounded it, and sure enough, he sounded it loud and long. And great, great things was taking place. Very meaningful. And here was just a little child. Then I left. I went down to the basement. We didn't go out to lunch today. Betty had, someone had called and wanted to bring us some lunch. And I was going to eat because I was hungry. I was kind of like Peter on the housetop when he saw the vision. He was hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he saw the vision, he fell into the trench. And I was very much wanting to eat. But then the thing began to move. Well, I went down to the basement. As I started down there, I run into Brother Daniel Gonzalez. And as I run into Daniel, I remembered that David had just told me, said, you know, Danny, my Daniel, is who taught me to blow this. So I run into Daniel, and it seemed coincidental, and we went on down, and then the thing started. And it was just in a sequence, just rolling. Because when he turns it on, it's like a film. It's so wonderful. All of it together. And I just trying to kind of fragmentally try to put it together because there is so many thousands of things. And though I've been exposed to many hundreds and thousands of things, I don't have time, even the patience, even 5 hours. Even with 9 hours, I didn't have the time. 9 hours, I barely scratched the surface. Continual. So great is the mystery. And then about the time we got down there was when things got in session. And I looked, and for some phenomenal reason, here comes little David with the shofar. And his grandmother had let him have it, which is real, real odd. I was amazed that she would do it, and the others were, they was too. Because it's a prize that comes from Israel, even though it's not easy to hurt. It's a ram's horn, real ram's horn. And it comes from Israel, so he couldn't do much damage to it. But anyway, he come, it's a heavy thing. And he come and sat right down beside me. Pardon me, then things was in session. So from that, the great phenomenal thing began to take place. I told little David, I said, little David, I said, remember now, Israel had two horns, two trumpets, they called it. And I said, a ram has two horns. And those two horns indicate, as to the he, as to the ram, of the sacrifice of that concerning the Lord Jesus. Of course, I couldn't tell David very much. But anyway, it had been little. He understands a lot. I said, and Israel sounded both trumpets. Now, that is about as far as I got. But now to the brethren, skipping over the many multiplied things as to the session, the great mighty things that took place in the spirit world. See, we were doing things naturally, but things were happening in the spirit world, and God was using the natural. Everything as to all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world, clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse, as to God's parabolic approach to revelate, that the earth may be filled with his knowledge and the heavens may declare his handiwork. Now, so when we got to talking, I said, brethren, and we brought this out, we have been talking about time and time no more. And I could see a carryover from our books and the thunders and all these things that's gone out to the tabernacle where these brethren came from and to the brother as to his expounder. Now, and to their pastor, which a lot of things was right down the line. And I could tell some things was... Anyway, when we were talking, I was expounding just a little bit on time, as compressing time, to the origin of time, to the elimination of time, to the purpose of time. Didn't have long to exhort, and we brought it out a little bit here, which we'd like to bring it out in deeper means of revelation. And then we hit just a little bit along the line of the thunders. And today there's some things said there that I understood because many of those things was in our book on the thunders. But the thing is, it's not exactly down the line is what was meant by that, or the way that it is. So you really have to listen, or you won't get the certain sound. But anyway, we just went on about the trumpets there a little bit, and I said, now, brethren, and I'm saying this to you. Of course, this goes on tight. But I said, Israel had two trumpets, and one of them sounded at the beginning of the battle together. The other sounded to put forth the battle as to command of move. I said, now, these had to sound, both trumpets. That's why they used both ram horns. And both ram horns had to do with the Lord Jesus. All things pointing to Christ. As to the Lamb, like the song we wrote, as to the Rose of Sharon and how they kill God's Lamb. And so, in this, there was David. There was me. And two trumpets were sounding. Seems real childish. Foolish and abased things of the world. Confound the wise. God revealing himself in simplicity. Nevertheless, there come David with the horn all by himself. And the phenomenal thing is what took place in sequence following. It's hard for the brethren to believe. And yet they saw it, experienced it. So one of those trumpets were to sound. Now, the question arises in our heart, I say to you, where was it to sound? It was the sound in the days of Moses. Moses was the sound of that trumpet. Because Moses was the one that was to draw them together out of Egypt. Pull them all together out of Egypt. And that was the gathering. Israel, come out from the land of bondage. That is to say, this Egyptian civilization of today, there's been a voice in the land, and it's been saying, Israel, come out. That is phenomenal how the little boy Israel came in down there at the right time. Israel, someone would say, not so, Brother Pike. We're not Israel, but the Bible said we're the true Israel. We're the true Israelite, and we're right in the midst, as to naturally speaking, of the Egyptians. And the voice said, come out from among her and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Now, old hieroglyphics, civilization, intellectual reasoning, all of these things, the ecclesia of the world, money buying Eden, they turn back into Egypt in their thoughts, the garlic, the onions, the old serpent on his belly, mumble, don't want this corn to seed anymore as it would be like. This manner was loathsome to us. Don't want to follow God and hear that word. Don't want to hear this thing. We want the world. We're hungry for the world. See, and they turn back into Egypt in their minds as the old serpent. So, a little later on, he dug them a hole. He opened up the earth and he let them go down because there was the worm anyway. And they passed by this great mountain of fire, the tutoring. And they were grumbling, and they were mumbling, and many things we said to the brethren about this today would have hidden a few little highlights. And then the others, which was not a worm, came by the way of the cocoon and the rending, and out came the beautiful butterfly as the children from the elders that went on over into Jordan showing the new birth. Many things true there that tells what we're saying. So he sounded the first horn, and there came a gathering, and that horn has been in the land, that trumpet has been in the land, and it's been gathering and gathering and gathering, and it has come to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic. It's become Pentecostal, it's become charismatic, it's become everywhere, and tents went out to show the wilderness and great moves of healing. To show the wilderness, holy water, selling shoestrings, all kind of things, every kind of doctrine, just a wilderness confiscating the whole thing. And how did it move through the land and move from the west, principally from Dallas, Texas? Which we'd like to say some things on this sometimes, having plenty of time. So there was a great move in the land. And it has lasted until just now. Just now. But then there came a time when there was a famine. And that brought Joseph into the picture. So it went on, Moses gathered them. And then it went on for 2,000 years is from the ark on over. And as to the gathering of Moses for hundreds of years. And then finally it came to the place where the second trumpet had to be sounded. And the second trumpet had to be sounded by Moses. Because the first trumpet was sounded by Moses. Or they would not believe because he had sounded to call them together. And he was the one that they believed in. And if he called them together, it sounded reasonable that he was the one to command them to battle because he was their commander. Should it be another, they would not believe it. And when the time come, the prophet likened to Moses come. When he come, he sounded the trumpet. It was time to go to battle. Now, but when he sounded the trumpet, all of a sudden it gave an uncertain sound. And the Israelite people, they couldn't understand it. Moses, we know, but who are you? And then that's where the detriment came. Now, it had to be the plan of God for the Gentiles' sake. They had to become enemies. Now, and we're not going to elaborate on it, though we did elaborate a good little bit as to the brethren. But not tonight. Just a few little words and let you go. But just to bring you to the place to let you know that there has been a trumpet sounding in the land. And then there came the time when there was another trumpet to sound. Now, you're going to be puzzled at that, except you go through it with God of how he explains it so astoundingly wonderful, every detail has a puzzle and a beautiful picture to where it's undeniable. It's explicit to the jot and the tittle. See, and you're going to be confounded because there is a first power, second power, third power, or as to the stages of this thing. Has to be able to understand, to be spiritual. Now, if you were spiritual, you'd look beyond the veil. And it would just be like that, as to a continent. All right, so right there is where we'll leave you, right there. There was another trumpet to sound. Something did take place today. A great and a mighty thing that took place today. Now, in the sounding of that trumpet, there is much to be said. And there are things that have to do with you. You, Israel, the true Israel. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, and then God sent a deliverer, and these things were expounded in part, because it was time to go out of Egypt. Now, some has come out, some is looking back. See, not all that come out of Egypt was of Israel, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. Paul said, not all of you Israel people are Israel, but in Isaac, as in Christ, shall the elect as to the spiritual Israel be called. All did not go into Canaan land, though 3 million came out of Egypt. With many of them God was not well pleased. They murmured and complained against the ministry, and they were cut off and went down to the pit quickly and were swallowed up in the wilderness. And only those as to God's ordination, which was the born again, the children, which means the born again among them. Lest you have his spirit, you're none of his. So, something is taking place. And we say this to you to stir up your pure mind, to let you know that tonight we're good teacher. That I wasn't just talking at the first because I didn't have nothing to say or he didn't have nothing to say, but rather because we are dull of hearing. Many things I have to say to you. Someone would say, but I'm tired. Well, it's like a verse of my song. It said he was sick and tired and weary. See, and the problem with us a lot of times, we're tired and weary. But the problem is we're tired and weary and well-doing. That's where the detriment is. You know, and that ought to never be. So then we are robbing ourselves by the vain jinglings of the world and eating and drinking and feeding the belly, being in Egypt in our mind, milkshakes and hamburgers, steaks, eating, seeing, traveling, visiting, laughing. So in the heart, back in the old intellectual Egyptian way of life. Come out from among her. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you. Feed on this hidden manna. He that overcometh, I'll give to him the hidden manna. Feed on the hidden manna. Keep on going. Stay with it. You're going to be glad after a while. God shall shortly bruise Satan under your heels. Stay with it. Don't give up. The exuberance of this morning is great. I like to see excitement. I like to see those wonderful things. But folks, let me tell you, just listen to what I'm saying. There is so much to be said about this morning and the different things and as to what it is, what it has to do with. Some of these things we mentioned to the brethren. Yeah, I know I can feel a little ripple in the stream just time I said. But it's all right. It'll work out. It don't matter about Brother Pike. Just hold your peace and go on and do whatever you've got to do. It's okay. That's okay. I have no axe to grind, as we say. But I'm telling you, as to the elect, they can receive it. No one can receive it save it be given him of God. And the middle wall of petition will rise up between you and that light and that voice. But it does say, as I said, in the days of the voice. And it does say, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow.
as I was telling this brother that preached this morning yesterday. Know my voice. So then, I'm going to let it stay right there with you on that, just a few little things, and ask you to stand with me. Sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me now. Oh, I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bowed over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's sing a little chorus or two together and we'll let you go. And I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lilies there blooming by the way, and I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Can you sing it with me? Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun shines. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers wouldn't be desert, all barren and dry. Life can be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun shines. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys I walk. Now the altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Let's sing this little chorus. Standing
somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail print in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time, we're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call that set of suns. Sing it with me now. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going. It's supper time, and as the writer said, I can see her standing yonder. And her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table is ready up in heaven, and it's supper time upon the golden shores. Let's lift our hands up together tonight. I know that you're tired, been in service all day, and I know that you're good people, you're precious, you're my children, you're God's children. Paul said, having begotten you in the gospel, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one, even to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that ye should be presented without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Yes.
Let's just take just a minute. As to the sister, would you like to step right up here, sister?
Just step right up here, please.
Let's lift our hands up, praise the Lord, and let's pray for our sister. If you love the Lord, believe, because every time we pray for anybody, which I don't practice praying for a sick here a whole lot,
used to quite a bit, but I don't practice praying for the sick a whole lot,
that it isn't because I don't want to pray for the sick. I pray for you all the time, day and night. Paul said, I try to make remembrance of you in my prayers always. So it isn't that. I pray for you and your family. I pray for your prosperity, your health, your blessings. See, I pray for those little ones especially, because God loves you and God's concerned about you. But here I'm trying to teach you something. The translation is at hand. And there's been great ministries of healings and deliverance, and we've had wonderful things through our lifetime. Natural, physical, spiritual, all kinds of miracles. We live by a miracle. But I'm trying to indoctrinate you with the revelation of Christ. And these things that we say to you, God knoweth whether it's true or not. But as Paul said, I wasn't taught these by men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Someone would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, no one has ever taught you these things, or you never did hear any of these things from nobody? Paul, you mean to tell me that nobody never did say nothing that you never did hear? Let's be realistic. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I wasn't taught it by man. It was revealed to me. Now, I haven't heard men say those things, though a lot of things I've heard men say. So many of those great, wonderful things, as I'm telling you, I've never heard or I've never known anything about. Neither was they with me. And when I teach you these things that already are, as in that foreknowledge, I've never heard that in my life. Never. Now, I've heard people say things. When I teach you that the law is folded up and laid away, I've traveled around the world. I've never heard that preached in any assembly with anybody, in any discussion, never ever read it in a book in my life. And what they usually teach as to the trend is that the law will not pass away till every jot and tittle be fulfilled. And then it will pass. But brethren, let me tell you, I tell you again, though we've been preaching this for quite a while, and it could be that God has revealed it to a lot of people. It could be that they've read books as to a lot of people, because it's went out on the radio, it's went all around. But the secret of your eternal life and being free from the curse is that you believe what we're telling you. And for you to come into these things, because it is God, and I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. And it's the greatest thing that's ever come to the earth, because it isn't a matter of maybe it will change the church. It's going to change the church. It's not something that maybe I know, I'm trying to find out. I know it thoroughly because of His grace. And that's why I'm trying to preach it to you. And Bethlehem has great significance at being little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Little Bethlehem, where the babe was born. And it has great, wonderful significance. So, whatever you do, listen, take heed how that you hear, and take heed in every way as to what you say, because it's going to be required of you in the day of the judgment, down to your very thoughts. Let's pray for our sister. Precious Heavenly Fathers, we pray for our sister. Lord, I ask you to look down from heaven. In your wonderful will, in your wonderful way. Because we know that you're listening. You're right here by our side. And Father, you're above us, you're in us, you're through us. And when just one or two of us gather together in your name, you are in the midst of us. And Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your lovely name, I ask you the blessings for my sister. I ask you to touch her. I ask you to lay your hands upon her. Father, because by faith in your name and the finished works of Calvary, everything's going to be all right, Father. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, I feel her faith, Father. I feel your spirit, the yoke broken. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You love the Lord? God is so wonderfully good. Isn't God good? Let's sing this little chorus. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners to die in their stead. He gave his life. Thank God for it. Thank God there's a bridge over the river someday. See his sweet face. With him I'll abide there forever. Thank God for his wonder. One more time. Thank God there's a bridge over the river someday. His sweet face. With him I'll abide there forever. Thank God for his wondrous grace. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory. Something was said this morning, and something was done. This morning had both to do with a delight for me and a crucifying for me, a hurt, a cutting to my heart. But even in the cutting of the heart, there was something that was done. Words that came forth. That my, if you'd only understood and heard and known. But nevertheless, I'm just thankful. If I can be used in any way, it doesn't matter. Just any little way, I'm happy. One more time together. So I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye. Can you raise your hand and close your eyes? Just a wish. While you got your hands up and your eyes closed, don't forget, remember me in prayer, my loved ones. ye are my loved ones. To pray for one another. Today's been a great memorial moment of event. Be ready, don't wait too late. Be ready. For in the hour you think not, be ready. Try to understand, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Don't just try to grow in the grace. To be able to take advantage of the grace and be out in the world in the lasciviousness of sin, but grow in the knowledge. Because it doesn't say that faith cometh by grace, but it comes by godly knowledge. And you're saved by the grace through faith of the godly knowledge. So be sure that you're sure that you're sure.
We'll give glory.
Once again, I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up. I've been calling on him 2 or 3 times along in a row. Tonight, he was the one that brought the wine for the Lord's Supper.
4 times shall be no more. No more.